Welcome to Kill Team Casuals, a podcast all about Kill Team, filmed in three different time zones by three different gents. Enjoy.
Wellity, wellity, woo, and then there was two.
Oh my! Did you come up with that in advance?
It just was lovely. It just happened, but I'm proud of it. Wow! Tip of the cap. It's the Kill Team Casuals. Two of the most casual. Ben, so casual, not here today, and that's a-okay. He's a bit under the weather today.
He messaged us and he says, "I'm here, just too casual to turn on the camera."
Instead of unbuttoned,
too casual to even answer the phone.
The top, you know what I mean? Four buttons of his shirt just went pop, 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 pop. Too relaxed.
Yep.
Too blessed to stress.
All the women in the local area became immediately pregnant. They were like, whoop, with child immediately.
The Lothario.
A new nation of Moans. Yeah. What he is.
I am
Norwich Kill Team. I see Norwich Kill Team all the time now. I started, they're in the chat. I started following them on Instagram because they had a tournament recently.
Oh.
And I looked at where it is, but it's right on the other side of the world of the UK.
On the other side of London.
Head to Norwich at some point. Yeah, the other side of London, obviously. Yeah. To the east side. I think it's quite close. I think it might be close to London. I might be wrong. Ooh. It's like the other side. It's like the east coast. But yeah, I'll have to go there sometime because I see all their posts. East London, there you go. They know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
They know what's up.
I think Digger Al's just taking the mick out of me, actually. Yeah. East London.
Yeah.
Could but be it helping. Is. I think
could
it is, actually.
Yeah. Well, I am joined, as always, by the ever faithful. It is Russ from GFN Gaming. Welcome.
Almost always, sir. I would never let a Monday slip by my side without seeing your beautiful face. That is the beautiful face of Reese from Three Stab Wound.
Ucha. That's good. It feels good. I like welcoming ourselves on our own show. It's one of my favorite parts of the show.
It's one of the weirdest things that we still do today. I don't know why.
Huge hello to the chat. Dr. Zero Hour, Doc Digger Owl, as mentioned, the Norwich Kill Team, Sandy, Papa Kraken, Kill
Norwich.
Team Stream.
Sorry, it's Norwich.
And Thomas.
We've got Sandy, Papa Kraken.
All the legends. One of the great things, if you are listening to this podcast, we do record it live, and we do it live on Twitch, so it's a great opportunity for people to come and jump on in to the chat, be part of the show. You're part of the family, and we love having that live engagement with everyone.
Being the casual community.
That's it. Yeah. Casual.
So big fan of the casual community.
Dr. Zero made a great point. He's saying Ben's been tearing it up with the Night Lords, but I actually reckon that's why Ben's not here. The bloodlust has got him. That's probably where he is. He's probably with the Night Lords.
He's currently
in the streets.
Prowling Ocala, skinning stray cats for his new coat. Because he's just all about that these days.
You
look at Ben, and all I can see now is just a man wearing a coat made of entirely skinned cats. That's all I see. He's gone in so hard with Nemesis Claw. It's unreal. You know, I was a little, I've played against them, and it was only like a first couple of matches, but upon reading the rule they get, the Midnight Clad, I felt like, and maybe the chat can help me out here and try and make me see the light, because I want to see the light, but it seemed slightly underwhelming, because don't get me wrong, Into the Dark, it's not underwhelming, because you're always within an inch of terrain, so that's great. But being within an inch of terrain, you've got to be 6 inches away from everyone as well, any enemy operative. So it feels like it's going to be used turn one, obviously. And it's pretty much, it doesn't stop you being, I'm sure you can still like vantage it out, but in Into the Dark, obviously, you're pretty secure. It just feels like it's not going to be used much turn two, because almost in all of your threat range is 6 inch, because you're all pistols, or you're going to be in combat. And as soon as you hit combat, that operative is then viable. It just feels like it could have been a strat ploy that you played turn one to make sure you couldn't get hit. Because that feels like it's going to be turn one, you don't get hit because you've got it. And then they could have just had something else. I don't know. It feels like, I felt a bit underwhelmed by it.
It's definitely that thing, I guess. It's hard because you go, as you said, it's in its best use in turn one, But I guess it does exactly what it's meant to do. It gets them up the board into close combat. So I guess maybe the designers were like, "That's we've job done. We've delivered them to eat the skin."
And they get prescience and stuff like that. Yeah. That's quite cool. Yeah,
I think they get. I think they've got a good mix of, as you said, maybe the team rule is a little. I'm with you. Is a little underwhelming and a little situational, but. In the rest of the game, I guess their strat ploys, the rules built into the operatives and everything, they're pretty spoilt for choice for that.
So yeah, they seem pretty fun.
Maybe that's the catch. It's like, well, we can't give them an amazing, team rule because then they're going to be, and that was probably maybe the concern that they were too good if maybe Midnight Clad. Yeah. Maybe there was originally less caveats on Midnight Clad, but the playtesters went, geez, actually, this is too good.
Yeah, it was too good. Mm. I think that's the thing. I think if you take away the fact that you have to be in conceal, it's probably too good.
Yeah.
Because you have to be, what is it, in conceal within 1 inch of terrain or under a vantage and more than six inches away.
Yeah.
If you take out one of them, if you just have to be concealed more than 6 inches away, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's saving you a lot. If on loot, that means you're in the backfield not being shot ever.
Those little caveats, I reckon they got added over time that maybe there was one, and then by the time the end of the playtesting, they were like, you know what? They're still destroying everyone. Let's just chuck a few more. Because it always feels like that. Anything you see that's got two or three caveats or dot points usually means it's been FAQ'd four or five times. That they've been like
in the playtesting style. Yeah. They were like, no, just right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. This one's too hot. it's interesting. Yeah, cause a few people in the chat, saying, Papa Kraken saying that he wrecked him with Warp Coven. So that's a good sign. Warp Coven on the up. That's very good.
Yeah, Warp Coven are on the up. I've not used them since they've been, They're like Necrons now. They're like Errata's like a novella.
Yes.
They're going to have to start issuing pamphlets for these teams that have been buffed so much.
It's a short course you do.
Yeah.
Where they teach you the original and then they teach you the new over a number of weeks. It's definitely one of those things with there's a few teams because I love in the new box sets. Like I was finishing painting some of the terrain from the Salvation box, the last few little bits and pieces the other day. And then I was looking at the cards and the little cardboard cutouts and all that. And I love cards and it's still one of my favorite things. But imagine having the Warp Coven cards.
Oh, my God, yeah.
You would have to have made your own notes, thrown some out, ripped some in half. Imagine trying to have kept them relevant. And up to date with what the team does. And that's such a shame. Like, as much as 10th edition 40K's got its foibles and that, I do like that fundamentally they're saying we're not going to change the units. So your cards will always be valid. We're going to tweak points up and down and maybe a few slight wording changes. But fundamentally, you should always be able to use your cards. It'd be interesting if your kill team ever gets to that point.
You know what? I guess for longevity, you almost want the card to be, as you say, unchangeable, even though we know that obviously APL has gone up and down on a couple of these models. Like the Apprentech, for example, has gone up to 3. But like, I can almost see an argument for having the base stats and then just the keywords. And then the keyword takes you to another deck. And then But God's sake, like how many decks would you then need to, because you'll have to upgrade that deck every time it gets updated. And it's just sort of like, ugh.
Yeah. And because there's no points values either. Like, so exactly, there's not another system you can change that would make the cards, that they could stay the same. That's probably the big difference too. In 40K, that's it. You've got the units themselves and then you've got points. And then so you can go, well, we can. Yeah. Move one or the other, but at the kill team, it's like,
they've got to redo the entire team or the operative, otherwise, you can't be like,
boom. Scribble on the cards. I do
that on the book, I write in the book, I write all the changes in the book.
You're that just because I like school, using the book. You get the second hand book, and there's like you've scribbled all in it, and there's a dick on one page,
or mustaches, dicks and mustaches everywhere, and mustaches with dicks. I was something of a trendsetter, if you know what I mean. But
Well, we wanted to do something a little bit different today, since we didn't have Ben, and we've had such a huge influx of news, which was fantastic over the past few weeks. We wanted to throw it out to the chat to do a little bit of an ask a casual, if you will. Ask us anything, questions, thoughts you might have about teams in Kill Team, state of the game, future of the game, thoughts we have on different bits and pieces. So if you're in the chat, feel free to start firing those questions in there. I can tell you now, Russ won't send you nudes. I've already asked that one. So
I send them out almost regularly.
Yeah, you don't have to ask. Just it's a service.
Yeah, basically. I was going to say this. I have a mailing list, but I don't do requests anymore. That got weird. I got real weird. We got some questions. Well, not enough. You know what you asked for. So we got some questions. So I'll read out until we get some questions. Obviously, they've asked Reese for a nude, which is, you know, offensive that they wouldn't ask me.
No, but Sandy already subscribed.
I thought we were closer than that, Sandy. Whatever, it's fine. Don't even. So we've got a question here from Six-Sided Paralyzed George. He said, will we, I don't know if we've got these questions. I don't think we've ever got through them, so I'm just going to read them out now. So will we ever get NIDs in Kill Team? This must be an old question. If so, what could be the team's comps, and what are some rules they might borrow from the compendium? I think the answer is going to be no. It makes me real sad to say that, but I just don't think we're getting... Sadly, I just don't think we're getting NIDs.
Not this edition.
I don't think so. Like that, like genuinely sad to say. I don't think we get NIDs because the NIDs strategies, the teams, so good. The strategic ploys, the tactical ploys are just great for the NIDs. Like everything they have, it's all like Star Striders. Everything they have is useful in a scenario. So having some of them just be built in would just be awesome. Like. The giving plus three APL, like even just having that, like, you know how you get the boss knob and the scout boss who can just hand out an action point for free.
And it's already like, synaptic range, it's already there, you know, the title's there.
That, you can't. That is all, like, just give them that. It's already attack ploy, I think. You've got to be within 6 inches of one of those hive tyrants or a synaptic creature. Will of the Hive Mind, I think it's called. Yeah. That's even just that for free. Great, but like stuff like that for free, you know, I don't know, there's so much that could be done. I just genuinely, sadly, George, I know he's not here, but I just don't think we're getting NIDs.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things. Do you think in some ways, and they kind of missed the bus, because obviously there was the launch of 10th edition, which was out with all the like, obviously Tyranid was the big launch thing. They had the Von Ryans Leapers in there. There was a real opportunity for them just to go, you know what, while we're here, let's just
coming out,
you know, let's just throw some rules. Everyone's going to be buying the 10th edition box set, you know, so I've got the Von Ryans Leapers. I reckon a lot of people do. If they haven't built them, they're sitting in the cupboard. And a lot of it, the other creatures, you know, I think it would have felt like maybe them and one other box of Gene Stealers or Warriors or whatever it was. Yeah, I kind of feel like they missed the bus and they were just like, yeah, well, whoops, and just moved on.
It's done. Yeah. It does feel like they must have some point had like a plan for a team. And maybe it was a White Dwarf team, and then whatever happened that they were like, not enough people are, I don't know, we haven't seen a big bump in White Dwarf sales due to us putting these rules in here. Let's not bother. Let's save it until we can, like, maybe it's something like that. I don't know.
Because it's interesting. But I sometimes think it comes down to a little bit of popularity too. Like, you know, I'm like, are the Tyranids popular? But then they're a very loud voice amongst the community, the Tyranid players. Obviously, they're popular enough that they were in the starter box set. So that's
they're getting new models.
And I look at some of the other teams that have maybe been, you know, forgotten or relegated. You know, another one that we've talked about before is Grey Knights, another team, huge fan base, demons. Hugely popular. And I'm very surprised that, they didn't get pumped up, or that's another team.
Quite a small range.
Yeah.
Grey Knights, real small. They've got like pure, like they've got two kits.
Yep.
Like Terminators, which are the Terminators and the Paladins.
Yeah.
The Strike Squad, which is everything else. Mm-hmm. And then they've got like the Nemesis Dread Knights. And is that it? I mean, they can have other units, but specialist units. They've got a couple of characters.
That's it.
Yeah, it's still quite a small range as well. So, maybe it's too much. Maybe they're again, like, we can't give, you know.
Definitely a team that, again, I'm a bit surprised. I feel like they were custom made for Kill Team. Like,
yeah, just they like were a Tyranids, great like, compendium team
yeah,
as well.
A fantastic compendium team. Plug and play. And I feel like, yeah, wouldn't have taken much. Again, could have been very White Dwarf-esque again. Just everyone's got the models, or if you play Grey Knights, you've only got the one kit, you're ready to go. Would have been very easy just to give them some new stuff. So, bit of a shame about Tyranids. Who knows? Maybe they'll be in the launch box for the next set. Maybe they'll be the Kill Team third edition.
Speaking of, Sandy's asked, what do you think will change in third edition?
Ooh.
What do you think is going to change? So if you think what changed in from first to second, everything changed. So it was no longer a gateway drug. It was no longer for Big Hammer's gateway drug. It became its own game. So where do you go from being its own game?
Yeah.
What's changing? So I think it's safe to say I don't think the stat lines they've created and the premise is going to change. Like the stat lines, group activation, action points, the many actions, I think they might get tightened, but I think they'll largely be the same. I guess something that I can see happening either one or two ways is that we'll see a change to how team composition happens, maybe. Like, I can see them saying, we need to tighten up because there's so many teams now. I can see them tightening up and saying, well, you know what? If we have an Imperium Astartes-esque team, which consists of you can take Astartes scouts or, you know, something else, like, or you can
Phobos
take
all in one.
Phobos, and then it's like boom, and you can take operatives, and maybe they'll either figure out a way of like an operative equivalency, or they will just bring points back in like a really simple form and be like, you have 10 points, this costs 1 point, this, you know what I mean, like a real simplified
thing.
It won't be like 14 points.
I think that's the only thing. Good? Are you missing that element? Because that is probably one of the big things I've heard. Yeah, is list building or that equivalency of most teams. There's really only usually one way to run them optimally, you know?
There's a couple of teams that are just like Star Striders I'm getting into at the moment. I'm really loving Star Striders, and there's no options in terms of what you take. Bolt, like same with Gellipox. Oh no, Gellipox have the equipment bugs, don't they? Yeah, there's no options. You know, I don't think it'll go far enough for me. So the list building aspect that I loved from, which is why I used to like 7th edition, would be like Big Hammer or the old edition of Kill Team, was be that you was like down to the minutiae, like the equipment, like the gun cost points, and I don't think we'll ever get back to like an operative costing 24 points. I think it'll come back to a simplified where it's like you have like equipment basically.
Yeah.
And they'll equipment point different operatives, and that'll be how like they change it, just to be able to mash a couple of teams together.
Oh, I like that. The idea of, as opposed to being this team's going to cost 100 points, it's like you've got 10 points to choose your operatives, and then you've got 20 equipment points. And there's obviously be like standard weapons, which will cost you 0 equipment points, but you're like, oh, I'll take a heavy
basically,
weapon.
Yeah.
That's 3 points. So again, it's keeping those
numbers.
Yeah,
that replaces X.
So we're not, this is 36 points and this guy's 24 and a half. And
I was going to say, I don't think, and the sad thing is I love that minutiae. I love that kind of the aspect of tooling a list. So you come in at exactly 1,000 or, you know, whatever it is. I love that aspect of like other games that I play, which leads into another question we've been asked, which is what other games do you like to play? But that's something I think will change.
I just wanted to quickly add one more thing I'd like to see.
I was going
to
say before
edition.
We move on. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we do. I was watching the latest Mountainside Tabletops game and they were playing a Warcry game. And that, again, the list building and the way that it was working within Warcry was that one of the dudes was able to bring like a gargant, like a giant. And so it meant that like his team had a giant, but then like only like 2 or 3 operatives left because that was all obviously points or the way you build it allowed. And obviously I'm not saying we need to go to that level. I don't, again, don't talk about having Dread Knights in there or something like that, but maybe a bit more like elite units, or as we're seeing with the new Gene Stealer Kill the Brood coven, that Brood Brothers, that, you know, all of a sudden some bigger characters, like a Patriarch, maybe one Terminator. So there's like a special model that can be a bit of a centerpiece of your team. I don't mind that. I thought that was really cool. And then within Warcry, these rules, though, that if your opponent did bring this special bigger model, you actually got like access to a new suite of rules that could help you counter that. So it was so like when they fought the giant, they could stab it in the eyes and that took one of its attacks away. Like that. So it just added like an interesting element of, again, list building, something you might not see, risk reward, and also your opponent, neither player being punished for this person building a list that way, but one person being rewarded as being the opponent. And I think that's always good, that you get things versus punishing, and you get feel like you're having stuff taken away from you.
Well, that bodes well. It does feel like they trial stuff with the fantasy element of their games.
Yeah.
Like they trial it on like Age of Sigmar and Warcry, and if it does well, they're like, let's bring this into the games that do better, like for us, like 40K and Kill Team. So it does feel like that. That's good.
Yeah,
that's
a good thing. I just thought that was a really, like, again, because obviously we always look at things through the lens of how would that work in Kill Team, or what would I do with that in Kill Team, and I was just like, ooh, that could be really good. And fundamentally, I don't want to ruin it. I don't want it to ever be, you know, now I've got a Land Raider. I never want it. I still want it to be Black Ops, stealthy. But you know, when there's those characters like a Terminator that could be deep struck in, or a Patriarch, like I think those things still work very well within the, you know, those slinking in the shadows kind of rules. I still think there's definitely some thematic cool stuff that they could expand to.
I think, it was the question, do we think this will happen? What do you think will change? So having said all this, I think that's quite a lot of work. So
shut up,
think they'll do
shut
that.
Up.
Yeah, no, what I was suggesting, not what you're suggesting. When I was saying points, like I'm suddenly thinking, I think that's quite a lot of work. Because if you think about it, if you add points like I'd suggested, like that does create a hell of a lot of more work to balance a game. And I think the problem is it's kind of pretty well balanced at the moment, I feel. Like when we were doing it be like 4 months ago, the last time we were having a look at the teams and the win rates, the fact that like a great team was at like 52%, like that was considered a team that needed to be nerfed. Like that's a pretty good position for the game to be in, really.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, that was take the competitive teams out of it, and the spread was really favorable. To show your internal game balance. And it's that thing too, I guess they've said this whole edition too, that it, you know, and when they'll bring it out, that it was about simplifying it, making it easier to pick up and play.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunately probably the negative of adding points or things like what we were talking about in, is that they would go, well, to a new player, that's a barrier. You know, you can't just buy your team and start a game. So, it's a shame.
So I think, it won't happen.
I still think there's probably the biggest one that I reckon will cop a hit, just a bit of a simplification of line of sight, you know, targeting, obscuring, all that stuff. Maybe that it just feels still, especially an open board, still adding vantage points. It still feels a bit unwieldy, especially to a new player. Like we probably take it for granted now. You've been playing X amount of time. You've played in tournaments and stuff. So therefore for you, it's like, oh, I get it now. It's second nature. But for a new player coming in, I still remember spending the whole first 2 months to where we are now getting rules wrong based on obscuring line of sight, cover, conceal, vantage points. I still think those interactions are still a bit clunky for myself anyway.
I know what you mean. Like I don't normally think that. Until I recently did intro games with some people and I had like the first like three people's first games. We did like a local at the local shop, Lancaster. Shout out if anyone's in the Lancaster area. I think it's like the last Sunday of every month we do a Kill Team focused event at Tabletop Republic in Lancaster. Oh, nice. I say we, I'm not doing it, but I go and I do intro games on those days. I'm not doing much apart from turning up.
You just do it for easy wins. I get it. You just want to get your confidence up.
No, that's the problem. If you're winning your intro game, you're teaching the game wrong. So I always lose those games. So it's just like, I'm just sitting here losing games after game.
Classic shark work. But yeah, then it's the second game you take their money. I get it.
Yeah, I go. Let's go again. You've got the rules now, right? No, but it's, I forget how, because I like that the game isn't, as far as how I sound like a gatekeeper. I like that the game's got some challenging elements to it. That's the thing, because it's a reward for getting good at it.
Yes.
You finally figured out the line of sight. That's great. So I don't want them to dumb it down too much. Not to dumb it down, but I still like it to be, if they can find a nice balance between easy to pick up, hard to master, that'll be perfect.
I think it's that thing too. It's like, you want, things like learning that the first time you nail non-reciprocal shooting, it's like, that's a level of understanding in the game, isn't it? It's like, look at me learning a rule and now understanding how to take advantage of that to make my opponent cry. Like, that's really good. We definitely want that element. I'd probably say it's more just in the wording and the explanation of how it's, as opposed to
could do that better,
taking away the skill required to get, because that's it. You should never be punished for being good at the game. I dare you learn it really well and take the time to get good at it. But definitely just in that way to onboard a new player or onboard someone, and even just little things that maybe they didn't think of early, very early where people were using bits of the tiniest bits of terrain to block bases and stuff like that. And it was quite a while before they brought in, most of the new terrain like ITD, you can't hide behind the noobly bits. They don't.
There's a bit on Octarius that is, I can't remember what they call it, but it's just like insignificant or something.
Yeah,
you can't get cover.
Like you can't hide behind the tap.
The tap. Yeah.
So I think
whatever.
Those little things like that. I think they made a lot of really, really good learnings from this edition. I said I think we've shown it's a great balanced game. I think the rules came out and made 80-90% of the effects and changes they wanted them to. And now it's just a matter of tweaking. I said, I don't think it's a burn it down and start again. I just think it's tweaking what works.
They're there, trying to open the safe or whatever you think that hand action requires. Tuning the radio.
All right. What was the next question? You had one lined up. Fire away.
We do have another question. It is. It was. What other hobbies do you enjoy?
Oh,
it could be other games outside of G Dubs. I'm guessing. Or some Affable Moose. What other hobbies? I know you like basketball.
Yes, mad basketballer.
That's a hobby.
Dragging my sorry butt up and down the court. Definitely missing. Having any athleticism of any form, shape or form.
I guess sports a hobby. Sport a hobby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, when I'm on the court, it's life, and it's life or death, so it's not a hobby then. It's this is the streets, baby. It's real.
Take it damn seriously.
It's real. Yeah. What about you, Russ? You're a handy muso?
Yeah, I guess. Well, I've played music for a while. Handsy. That's something else. I can't put that in comments as a hobby. I don't know. I mean, I like to draw and paint, but that is obviously this hobby as well.
But you're quite well versed amongst other. If we keep it tabletop, like one page rules. You play a bit of
a bit of fantasy going on.
Have you had an old world game?
Gotta love a banner.
This is what I'm interested in. Have you had an old world game yet?
I've had old world games, but not of the new edition.
Yes.
Still not now. I need to head back up north. Northeast London. Well, northeast London, near Scotland, northeast London, which Scotland is essentially a suburb of London.
Don't tell them that. How dare you?
I'm trying to make. Was that your Scottish accent?
That was all I got. I panicked.
Oh, man. I don't know what's worse, your accent or me saying it's a suburb of London.
Sorry to our Scottish listeners. We really apologize. Yeah. We're not very good.
But yeah, I've got some friends who play it quite avidly up there still. Because I don't really know anyone down here that plays it. So
yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. And again, I'm not that ingrained within the community of old world around my area. But yeah, like it's
well, they've met you though, that's why.
Yeah, well it's personal.
Makes it tough.
I do wonder how it was going, because obviously you see a lot of the Doom videos out there going, old world's failed and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I would love to know the stats on how it's going and how actually it is being received and how many people are actually.
Give us the data.
Yeah, I want some facts. Want some facts.
Drop some facts.
Yeah, because it's that thing of like.
I didn't know it's failed. I mean, they didn't include Skaven, so that feels like a failure. And Dark Elves, yeah. You know what I mean? Feels like a failure.
They seem super committed to it. It's not going anywhere. They're still bringing out releases and all that. But it's just.
I mean, they're mainly old releases, but yeah.
Yeah, old new. Because it was like.
They've gone back into a warehouse and gone, there you go, put that out as new. Well, mark it up.
We're out of Skaven. All right, they're out.
No.
Well, because it's interesting.
You Skaven now.
I know. It's interesting because, like, I definitely found when it first came out, the nostalgia bug had me bad. I was like, oh, man, yeah. Who am I going to play? Who am I? And I was thinking, how am I going to get all these old models? It's definitely worn off for me now. I definitely feel like. Now time is, he's committed. He's got the old world book in hand. I think
I'm going to say, you know, when you normally look at a book and you go, like, that much is rules.
Yeah.
You're like, this is rules, but it's all spaced out. It's just,
it seems
feels
dense.
Like a book that's not been, like, here's roll to hit. Here's charge. And it's just like, it seems like there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't seem like an easy to read. Oh, I'm stuck on something.
It's, we've lost man down.
I was stuck on something. It doesn't seem like it's been super, I don't know. It's still a complicated game. I think that's the easiest way to say it. It's still complicated.
Yeah, especially considering now, you know, that every edition, which now that's been gone for a while, they've brought it back. Every edition, a big thing they've been saying for all their games, we're making it better, we're making it streamlined, we're making it simple. It definitely seems a bit of a rel, and that's fine because some people love that dense rule book that makes you flip 19 pages. Some people love that feel of, you know, being the gatekeeper of the knowledge of the mechanics of the game. For me,
it just means the sad point is, like, you can get through a Kill Team game, or to answer Sandy's question with this, you can get through a one page rules game in a couple of hours, regardless of how big the, like, this points are. Whereas it feels like the first time you're playing fantasy or old world fantasy, it can take 4 or 5 hours to be like, okay, so this unit can do a movement. He's going to charge.
Yeah.
You can respond. Oh, but you've got some extra. And it's like, and that's your entire first game is you've got to keep going back to the book a lot. I've got a question for you, actually, which please. Sandy obviously has asked us, so I'm stealing his question. But obviously, I know I play a bunch of other non-G-dubs games and have. Like, I've flitted through Infinity for a bit by Corvus Belli. I've played a bit of Dead Zone. I've played a bit of some of the Mantic stuff, and I've played a lot of one-page rules because I really like one-page rules. But I know you're quite a big GW shill.
You just wanted an opportunity to insult me. This isn't a question.
It's got to be a question. So obviously you've suckled dry GW's heat. Do you play any other non-GW's games?
Well, there was a question. Okay.
There was a question. And it doesn't count if you got the set and did nothing with it.
Also true.
So yeah, so I know you've got a Dead Zone set, brother. I know you've got a Dead Zone set, and I've got a Marvel Crisis Protocol, but have yet to play it.
Yeah.
Oh, Trench Crusade. Sorry, Sandy's also mentioned that. I've been looking at that game like how many years ago that I saw it was on. What you call it? The models look immense.
Oh, really?
The setting. It's a World War One. What you call it? Like a skirmish game, but it's like trench warfare. Like the board. Oh man, look it up. The artwork is amazing.
I'm taking a note for later for myself.
Yeah, yeah. Trench Crusade. I really wanted to get it. I think it came out, and I missed. Like I was following the
Kickstarter.
The what you call it? The Kickstarter, and then it came out. It's the guy who wrote the rules for Mordheim. Wrote the rules for this as well, so it's you know it's going to be in depth. Speaking of Mordheim, I started making some Mordheim scenery.
Oh.
It's downstairs, otherwise I'd show you, but I've made like a mock Tudor building which comes off, and then it's got like the back two walls are full, and then the front two walls are half size, so that you could put a camera and film the inside if like we went inside.
That's sick.
The problem what I've done as well on the roof, because I've seen some tricks to how you do it, but I did the individual tiles on the roof.
Mm.
Don't do that.
Oh.
That took me two nights. It took me two evenings to glue individual tiles on this building. I'll put it on my Instagram or something. But it's a lot of tiles.
I never played Mordheim. I knew the lore behind it because I've always been a massive, even when I wasn't playing, when I wasn't still involved in terms of the hobby side of it, I was still always a massive like lore nerd. I was still kept an eye on what was there, but I never played it. But it seems like it's such a beloved gaming system. I love the lore, like this, you know, the city is abandoned and there's the meteorite and they're all mercenary bands scrapping. Why did it go away? What happened? What did I miss about why it's no longer a game system? Because it seems so popular.
It went the same time as Fantasy. It was basically Fantasy's Warhammer Fantasy's Kill Team.
Okay.
Yeah, or Warcry, I guess. Mm. I don't know why it went, but I'm guessing just when they ended the end times, they were just like, well, we can't really, why would we still have more time?
Still floating in space.
If we'd still have it. So I'm guessing it went. I wonder... If with the old world coming back, more time would come back.
Everybody speaks of it so glowingly. Like I said, I'm not sure if that means because the mechanics were good, if it was the lore, if it was just a combination of all of things. There you go. Mordheim ended.
I was going to say, it felt like it went beforehand, but like, yeah, there's been so many community updates to it that have kept going.
Yeah, that's it. Like people still play it. Like it seems
epic. Oh, God. I loved Epic. I'm so gutted that they changed Epic to Adeptus Titanicus.
I love you had to look behind you because you had it, though. You were like, yeah, I can't believe they changed it to what the thing is behind me.
And, you know, I've played that game, although it is G-dub, so it doesn't count.
Speak of shields.
But yeah, I loved Epic. Yeah.
Oh, Deep Fatty saying
confirmed.
Deep Fatty, please tell us more. Where have you heard this rumor? Because I'm very interested.
We shall hold... But you tell us
everyone's
we're
waiting. Everyone's it's the this truth that you've said that we're holding you to in the chat. Once in the chat, it's real. It's not a rumor. Yeah.
We'll let you answer the question, Reese, while Deep Fatty goes for it. Do you play any other non-G-dubs games? Sorry,
I don't. It's not through lack of wanting to.
Wow.
It is.
It's not like there's other games out there, right, mate?
It's just lack of time.
What a shill. What a shill.
Look, I'm still being destroyed online for buying GW official primer, okay? I'm the biggest shill ever.
My God, you don't, do you? Oh, Reese.
If you want a video to blow up, mate, that's all you have to do. Just buy that on camera and people will be all
over
you.
Have you bought any paint that isn't G-Dub's paint?
Yes, I have.
Oh, okay,
but only very tentatively. I'm definitely still in that bubble of...
You just don't trust it still.
No,
you're like,
do you know why? Because it's like, you know what color you're going to get. Like, it's like, and every painting thing I ever learn is always like, you need these paints. And I'm like, so I know it's like, oh, I need moot green. Whereas I have to take risks and my anxiety can't deal with getting a different brand, a different color. What if I get it wrong, Russ? And I've also invested so much money in those paints. I've got to use them.
That's how they get you. Yeah. Now you've got them. You're like, oh. So, you need to branch out, mate. Branch out into Vallejo.
Yeah,
Scale 75.
I've heard really good things. It's not, it's more, for me, a lot of the thing, and this is exactly how the GW model works, it's convenience in the sense that it's comfortable. You know it. So it's like, oh, I need X. So, you know, when your hobby time, especially now, I'm feeling that hobby squeeze a little bit more. I'm like, what's easier for me?
We've got another question. Mm-hmm. If you had to make your other podcast host use a new kill team, what would it be and why? Ooh. I guess it's just you and me today. So what team would you make me use? Don't say it.
And am I trying to stitch you up or am I just trying to make you branch out of what you would usually play?
Yeah. The thing is, I play quite a lot of teams.
Yeah, it's interesting because I think you might find this too. I think there's two types of players when it comes to kill team. There's people that are very loyal to one or two teams like that. They will play those teams to like they will be, Ben, like, you know.
Well, 100% Digger Out was like, make Ben play Commandos. And I was like, yeah, that is the obvious thing. You'd be like, you're playing Commandos, mate.
Whereas I like to play... I am definitely a player of all teams, but master of none. I enjoy playing a few games, getting a good feel for a team, but then being like, oh, but geez, I'm also curious about these guys. So I will flip-flop. Like I guess I own probably a large portion of the current kill teams. I'm trying to think, a team I would like to see you play because I haven't seen you play them much on the channel, I'd like to see you play a bit more AdMech.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I've never had the Skitarii.
Yeah.
So I've never made a full good list. Yeah, they're quite a good team.
Yeah.
Got good, great shooting.
And it's interesting because they're not like I would say they're probably not well represented in terms of bat reps and on the thing. They've kind of like, you know, and I think they went from being in an awful spot to they're actually in a good spot as a, you know, pretty
good. Yeah, they're in a great spot
now. I'd probably make
got
you
some great stuff
get the
going
old
on.
Red robes out.
Quite a nice team. I appreciate that. I'd take that.
Add it into the narrative, mate.
Add it into the narrative. They're in there. They came in for one game, but they had no Skitarii.
Oh,
so it's not a great one.
That's awkward.
They turned
I must have missed
out.
That
they
one.
Turned out. Wow. For Reese, I would make Reese play novitiates with no flamers. Oh wait, no. I would make Reese.
That's brutal.
Just for those people that don't know, Reese made the novitiates team and failed to make any of the flamers.
I had to buy an entire second box set just to make flamers.
Inquisitorial agents?
Are they?
they're the mustard of the team. I don't know what team you, because you again, you as G-Dub's biggest whale, you've pretty much got every team.
Now I'm fat as well. Is this because Ben's not here? Yeah. I'm the second fattest. What the hell? Or what? That you just confirm Ben's the. It's gotten out of hand. It's gotten out of hand.
I would love you to take a real, because I know you talk about not being a master of a team. Mm. I'd love you to really commit to a proper brain scratcher of a team like Warp Coven or something like that. Like to be like, because Warp Coven's got a lot of bells and whistles now, especially. They've got a lot of stuff going, a lot of synergies or Hierotech Circle, something like that, where you've got a lot of stuff going on. And I don't think I've seen you play Hierotech Circle. I don't even know if you've got them. You must have them.
I did, but then a friend of mine was playing him in our narrative campaign, so I like sold him the team and he now runs them. So I also hate them a little bit because of that, because you play against the team a lot and because they just
got good.
They kept getting better and better. I was like, made a huge mistake.
You play Wyrmblade, and Wyrmblade's quite a cerebral team.
I love Trixie
I'm trying
James.
To think of a team.
I do love Trixie James.
Maybe that's it. Maybe I'd make you play like a really good team and make like, you know what, like make Hierotech Circle, but like pre-nerf and just I want to see you drop that slow bomb, and I just want to see if there's like a flicker of evil, or if you feel bad, if you're just like, God, I love this power, you know what I mean? So maybe that.
Yeah,
you seem too nice. Maybe just bring out that evil Reese.
Yeah, the super competitive side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that works. That works.
Yeah, that works.
All right.
So okay. So, what are your tips? Oh, we kind of talked about it. What are your tips for introducing friends to the world of Kill Team, and what is your pitch?
Wow. I mean, I guess I've probably been as a giant GW whale shill whale. I've definitely gatewayed
Moby Shill.
Moby Shill, as I'm known around the traps. So like, that's my code name when GW talks about me. Moby Shill has confirmed another kill.
Moby Shill's coming in. Stock the shelves.
I've definitely gatewayed a whole bunch of my friends, and Kill Team was definitely that way. Because, I mean, the best thing is, the thing that is really good about it, and this is now taking off my shill hat, but it is a great entry point, as in, because your actual investment in terms of monetary, you only know, most teams, you only need one box to play, which is
for the
hardest thing with GW, and I think the most intimidating part is getting started. Like, because if you're going to get a team, you're going to get paints, you're going to do, you know, like, and for myself, that's part of why I have lots of the teams, because I enjoy playing against my friends and new people. So I'm happy, like, I love painting them, I love collecting them, so I have them so they can play them. That's my introduction, is that I go, you actually don't need anything. I've got the terrain, I've got the teams, pick which one you like the look of the best. And that's how I sort of start, because it is, I still remember when I was looking to get back into it, I didn't know where to start, and it was just like, as much as I loved it all, I loved the idea, it can be hugely overwhelming. So it's just, like,
40K in itself is quite a big universe.
Yeah. And people who are passionate about it are also usually terrifyingly passionate. like, you want to get into it? You want to get into it? You want it? You want this? I'll get you into it.
Yeah.
I think it's good to just go, hey, we're just going to play a game. We're going to have a laugh. We're going to roll some dice.
Yeah, casually. Mm. Casually slide into a game. Yeah, I think if you're someone, actually, you wouldn't be listening to this, would you? If you're someone that doesn't play, because I know there's a guy at our local club who's just like, this is his first war game he's ever played.
Yeah.
That's why I had that game with him recently. This is his first, and I was like, and again, when you were talking about playing with Jada, you were like, she didn't have this background knowledge of what is an objective. Mm. And I was just sort of like, so do you play many war games? Is the first time you're playing Kill Team? And she's like, I've never played any games. And I was like, okay.
Get out. Not today. Today's not your day.
But he was very proactive. He'd read a bunch of stuff about it, and he'd watched a couple of battle reports. Not my battle reports, which hurt.
Yeah.
Hurt a lot.
It was probably the correct move, if anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of learning how to play, probably not the best place to learn. But yeah. He basically just split a box with his brother.
Mm.
And I think that seems to be a lot of people. Like, if you want to get someone involved, and they've already kind of, they're a little bit like, ooh, splitting a box is the easiest way, because you can get a cheap team, and then you can both get the rules, and it's a nice way to play. So you both come together with the rule book, and you're like, let's blast this game out. Because I remember doing that with it when Age of Sigmar came out. I had a mate, and we're just like, let's split the box. I'll come around to yours for the weekend, and we'll just blitz through all the game. You know what?
Yeah.
You know what I'd love to see in the book that they don't currently have? At least I don't think they have. They don't have, like, starter missions where they're like,
we'll pair
don't
it
use
back
TAC
a bit.
Ops.
Yeah.
Don't use equipment. Your first mission, because they did that in Age of Sigmar, and I know it's a simpler game, but just be like, mission one, you take these three operatives from the teams that you've done. Mm. So just say, take the Dacker boy, the boss, and the comms, and the other dude takes five guardsmen. So you can build up and be like, you just paint those three models, those five models first. You can have a game if you must have painted models. But whatever you do, just be like, yeah, do these two missions. The mission is one objective in the middle.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And play the game. And then, like, this build up, maybe three missions to build up to equipment and TAC Ops. The Recruit Edition pad had this, unless Digger Al did put a question mark at the end of that.
That means so it's not the a Recruit rumor Edition. It's not this? Truth. So it's not truth because he did the smart move to put a true. Question mark. I'm asking.
But I never got the Recruit Edition. But if that was great if they had that. But yeah, that's what I would say. Split in a box feels the most wholesome fun you can have. With a G-dub stuff, split in the box is the most fun because then you know you've got someone else to play a game with. I think
that's it.
That's always
speaking of AOS, have you got the new edition? Are you curious? So this is my own Reese. Ask me anything. Are you curious? Are you keen? Are you going to look at it? Because we just spoke. You haven't played any old world, mate. You're out the door.
No, I'm not.
One page rules.
I know I'm not.
Yeah.
See, the models look cool, and the models have always looked cool in Age of Sigmar. And I've dipped my toes in. You know, the problem is, I got first edition. I split the box for first edition. Maybe I missed second edition. Yeah. I got third edition, though. Both sides. Painted the Cruel Boys, sold them on eBay. I've still got the Stormcast, which are now mostly gone?
Mostly
I don't know. They've retired a bunch of models now. But you know what? I think I'm done on Age of Sigmar. I've tried to get into it a bunch. You know what? It's not as good as One Page Rules.
Oh,
you know
what?
It's like 25 million times more expensive than. It's 25 million times more expensive than One Page Rules. I've already got the models. The models that I play for One Page Rules are not going to go out of date. They're not going to get redone. It doesn't matter what they are. I can just use them. And it's just the same game. They're not doing anything drastically different. So I'm just sort of like, for me, Age of Sigmar's done. Fantasy still has some pull to it to me.
Yeah.
And I know that some of that's nostalgia, but
there's nothing wrong. Yeah. That's not a bad reason to why do you like this game? Because it just makes me happy. Like, that's as good a reason to play as any. Like,
it's got some I've got good memories. Residual joy.
Yeah. Squeeze it out.
What about you?
Out of there.
Yeah. I could see myself getting a box if both of the armies looked amazing, but I wouldn't be getting it for the rules. I might just eBay an army. But what about you? Are you looking at it, this new edition?
No, I mean, I'm always curious when new editions come out. I've been like a bit like what we're saying with Old World before. You know, you get caught up in the excitement of something new.
Yeah.
And I did get the gateway drug from like my local Games Workshop, where they gave me like one of the little Cities of Sigmar, the free guild guy.
Those dudes are cool.
And it was, and that if I did play it, that would probably be that team, the new models with that speaks to me a little bit.
Yeah, it sees it.
I don't know if I could, it would be a tough ask to convince my friends who I've already made play Kill Team and 40K to start a whole nother system. Because it's like, there's also how much you want to play it versus you can't force that on other people to be like, should want to collect and paint as much as I do. It's like, well, no, they might enjoy it a bit less than you or a bit differently. So you've definitely got to temper your enthusiasm.
It's a shame because those Cities of Sigmar models are beautiful. I made my Star Striders team now, and I've finished my full custom team, and it's made out of quite a lot of those Cities of Sigmar models.
They're perfect. Yeah. Like,
Perfect. Yeah, they just looks. They've got so much character to them.
They do.
I don't have them here, but they ended up looking real nice as well.
You're gonna have to share some photos of those as well.
I have to share some photos of them. They're good.
Yeah, it's been that thing where looking at the new edition. Yeah, it's. Interesting. I definitely would say the big thing is the lore does not grab me. Like old world lore to me was perfect high fantasy. Like I love the old world lore. That world they built, how it worked, the factions, perfection. And I know that they GW did Age of Sigmar so they could own all the intellectual property to all of it. But I don't know.
God, like-
it's just confusing. It's just weird. It's not. I don't know.
Why do they change all the names?
Yeah.
Like, does anyone call... Like, I don't even call them the Drukhari. They're still Dark Elves.
They're still Dark
like,
Elves.
I know they are, and they've been the Eldari, and then they were the... What were they? Elder, and then they were Craftworlds.
Yeah, now they're
then
the
Asurian?
Then
they were Eldari. No,
Asurani?
They're elves. They're space elves.
Space
mate.
Elves.
There'll always be space elves.
Yeah, and orcs being Nuts. Uroks and
They just add another vowel. They just grabbed a handful of vowels and threw them at all the races and be like, now you're mine.
Yeah. Now we own you.
Now we own you.
I have a form of curiosity about it. And also maybe because I've heard that the game format is actually really fun to play. And it's because I've definitely played a lot of 10th edition. I don't know if that's true.
Lies.
Oh, it's lies. Is it? I guess lies.
Well, no, I'm just saying. They're not going to come out and say, hey, the new edition.
Sorry. Players in the current edition, like I've always said, AOS is very good to play. Like, because, I mean, a lot of people are still very quite negative on 10th edition 40K, and I can understand that. There's some things that haven't landed, I think, like the way they thought they would. But anyway, that's a different game.
I'm not sure there. Yeah. Like, I know this sounds weird, like a large sweeping statement of I don't think they're great at making games yet. And it's just like the lore seems to sell most of the games. And that's why, Age of Sigmar, I don't know.
Yeah.
I do love Kill Team, but it just feels like it's taken a while to get to a point where it's lovable, maybe.
Yeah. The lore of Kill Team is lovable.
The lore of Kill Team is kind of rubbish.
Yeah.
I've never read a single bit of lore for Kill Team.
Yeah, which
ever.
Is interesting. It should be good, but
it should be great. It should be good, right? I just make my own up. I mean, I've been doing that.
You've been doing it
in a narrative campaign for a while. I just make my own lore, but that's the thing. It's nested within the universe of 40K lore, and that's so rich.
Yeah.
But yeah, they have tried. Like there was a narrative running through Kill Team, which didn't need to be.
Yeah, well, all like, if you think about it, was meant to be a narrative.
They didn't need that. Like, no one cares. Like, I know maybe this is a large generalization, but I feel like no one cares. Like, if you're in the chat and you care,
that's in the chat if you care.
I guess I'm interested. Like, did anyone think that that they needed a narrative, like, outside of 40K being its own narrative, like 40K's lore universe? Do you need Kill Team to, they're trying to like force a story, a narrative? Because I never looked at any of the narrative stuff, and I like that kind of stuff. I don't.
Well, we said we did that more like the Spec Ops narrative campaign initially, my group of friends have played, but we've really pared that back now to pretty much just playing match play because we still keep the same teams for a long time, but we don't really bother with the upgrades. We just sort of have like a bit of a round robin of ourselves. I think, and it was that thing too, one, everyone kept forgetting what they'd upgraded since the last time, but also two, that like a lot of people didn't like asymmetrical missions. A lot of my friends really, they didn't like that you could have a game and it could, and if it might be the one game you played for the month, and it felt stacked against you that they didn't, they were like, oh, well, that wasn't a good game because I was always going to struggle to win that. And now I've got to wait another month before I can play again when they want to win.
No, I mean, I like the narrative. I like the, I guess I'm saying it wrong. I like the narrative, like missions and stuff like that. When they try to put a story behind it, like the gallows fall and stuff like that, like the reason why everything was happening, I just didn't care about that.
Well, it's also because I think in some ways, although it's meant to be more intimate and personal, not intimate in a sexy way, but like you're meant to, because it's a smaller team, you're meant to know you're more specialists than your operatives. But then Russ is making out of the camera if you're listening.
That's for you.
Making
out to you, Reese.
Oh, yes, finally, my first kiss. In 40K you have named characters, and you have, whereas in Kill Team it's still always generic leader operative, generic, like you have to add the character into it.
Yeah,
you're not into
it. It's
that.
Into you.
Yeah, I guess your level of that involvement. Yeah, you're not getting, oh, I've got the vet guard and they're led by Sergeant, Dominus. Or
yeah.
Whatever.
Whereas you do miss out on the, you don't have like Gazgul. You don't have like an actual character. But I don't mind adding the character. Obviously, I don't mind adding the characters. Yeah. That's what I've done. But that also,
I guess, inherently adds a little bit of that connection and that story and narrative element, even for those writers who are right. Because if they're like, Sergeant you know, Dominus from the Kree kill team, blah, blah, and write a story, you don't really necessarily relate that to your team because that's not. Whereas if that model was Sergeant Dominus, then you would go, oh, he's in a story. That's the guy.
The man. He's famous.
It's in a book.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I think that's as good a point as any. Let's wrap up there. It's been a fantastic.
Do you want to? Did you want a Legions of Russ?
Have you got one?
Or are we wrapping up going? I've got two Legions of Russ. If you need it,
let's do those. I have to head off soon, but let's do those because it's Reese versus the people time.
Reese versus the people again. Let's do one. Let's see if we'll do one maybe.
Yeah. Well, no. Hey, we're gonna do two. We're gonna do two.
Oh, we're gonna
because it's Reese versus the people, baby. We're excited. That was a fake out.
Play it up. Oh, we've got it as well. You look really
it's
worried.
It's finally time for Legions of Rust.
You look so worried. What's happening? Oh, you're playing it.
No, for some reason, it did it last week too. When I play it, it just didn't fire. So it was just black screen a lot. Oh, but we got there.
Amazing.
I think we played about a third.
Okay. I played some of it. So, welcome to Legions of Russ. It's Reese versus the people. I'm going to blast through this introduction, put up the screen that tells you the scores, but we're not going to go into it because, you know, we're doing a quick fire on the Legions of Russ. If you've never played Legions of Russ before, this is not the episode for you. Just look at a different one because we're not going to go into the rules this time. We're just going to go straight into them. Anyone in the chat, feel free to guess. It's Reese versus the people. So the chat is a Gestalt entity who will destroy Reese. Mm. And Reese is doing his best. Bless him. He's doing his best. That's all you can say about Reese. Yeah, bless his cotton. So let's get straight into it. I'm going to give you, you've got a choice of Chaos or Imperium.
Ooh, let's warm up with Imperium because I feel like
warm up with Imperium.
Well versed there.
Okay. So we'll start off with a little bit of clues. Two words. Okay. There we're looking for. Two words. That's a freebie,
take
everyone.
Take that home with me.
Here we go. A devilish sprite, not divine enough to forgive, simply human. I'm real bad at spelling. A hearty chuckle as you chain watch your favorite TV shows. I'll say it again slower for Ben.
Please.
A devilish sprite, not divine enough to forgive, simply human. I'm real bad at spelling. A hearty chuckle as you chain watch your favorite TV shows.
Mm.
So, I will split it out because there's no guesses in the chat. I'm going to split out. So the first word is made up of, Digger Owl gets two victory points just ahead of him, Affable Moose. Two victory points for the partial guess. Reese hasn't got it yet, so, you know, turn your chat off, Reese, by the way, in case you haven't.
I have already. Yes, I have it.
He has.
Ooh, now I've got that
Jin,
answer.
The sheep is getting some. Yeah, he's got close to the end of it. That'll probably help you out. Reese, have you got any guesses yet? Do you want me to
the
break
only
it down?
The only part I've got so far is Binge.
You look a bit shell shocked.
I've got Binge at the end.
You go. Well, Jin of the sheep also has that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got that at the end.
That's all I've got so far.
A devilish sprite, not divine enough to forgive, simply human. That is, and then I'm real bad at spelling. That is the first word. Samoan Matt gets it.
Oh.
So that
is the
technically,
first word Imperium?
I've not given out.
Or Imperial.
No. Imperial. So imp. To err is human, to forgive divine. So not divine enough to forgive is and then I'm real bad at spelling. It's R-I-A-L for real, but spelled badly. So imperial.
The imperial binge. Yeah.
Imperial binge. So the second part that you want to do is a hearty chuckle. A hearty chuckle as you chain watch your favorite TV shows. So you've got to... You're still with the sprite, the imp at this point.
Yes.
As you're chain watching. So it's think of plural of what you've already got. There's
Imperial,
two people doing
Imperial
that thing at the end.
Binges.
Yes.
Harbingers.
Hey, ha. Ha, ha, ha. There you go. The Imperial Harbingers. So they are a loyalist Space Marine chapter of unknown origin, but they were raised during the 23rd founding in the 37th millennium, and they spent much of their time pursuing one Imperial crusade after another. They've got like a silver armor, yellow helmet, which is quite cool, and they've got like a, looks like a scar band logo. It's like a skull side on with flames coming off it.
I like it. The Space Marine scar band. I love it.
That's in space. Basically, looks like, you know, if you know the Exploited, it kind of looks like that, but instead of it being like a mohawk, it's like fire.
Very cool.
We've got another one.
Let's do it.
But let's play it up inside of itself while I bring up the relevant stats.
Good luck to us. We'll only say this once. It's finally time for Legions of Rust.
Worked that time. It was beautiful.
Wholesome.
I missed that guy.
So, Samoan Matt, killing it for the chat, closing up there. 4 victory points for the chat. So it does kind of mean you need to snipe this.
All right. I believe in me.
We're going chaos. Yes. So chat, get yourself ready. Think chaosy. Reese, yeah, think chaosy. This is where we're at now, chaosy. It could be a war band, it could be a cult. So just get those chaos thinking caps on.
These can be very tricky, these ones.
They can be. So, are you ready?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Chat, are you ready? I'll wait. No. So, my wayward son always argues with me about casually climbing Clitheroe. That generally comes right before the fight, though. I will say it again. I will say it again, slowly for Ben. My wayward son always argues with me about casually climbing Clitheroe. That generally comes right before the fight, though. This might be a weird one. It might be a weird one. So, it's two words.
Two words, okay.
First word is my wayward son. That's probably a clue right there. The second word is always argues with me about casually climbing Clitheroe. That generally comes right before the fight, though. Digger Al, your brain is in the right place, but it's not that. Yes, Deep Fatty gets it.
Oh,
so,
how?
Yes.
How?
Well, you can't see the clue, but that's how he got it. He was thinking along the lines of Digger Al was thinking, but it is indeed what you guessed. So
I got smoked.
I'm gonna give you a clue now because I realize you're not a music fan. Yeah. And I always put music stuff in and stuff you don't. So my wayward son is a lyric.
Carry on, my wayward son.
Okay, so you do know that. I thought that was easy enough.
That's where but I can't remember who sings it.
It's not who sings it.
Oh, okay.
In fact, you may have already said it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Carrion.
Carrion, yes. Carrion is in dead flesh, not carry on.
I like it, yes.
All right. So they haven't actually got the full one, so they haven't got the second word yet, which would be always argues me about casually climbing Clitheroe. That generally comes right before the fight, though.
Yeah, what's a Clitheroe?
Clitheroe. It's a place. It's a place in the UK. It's not really about the place. Don't worry about it. Okay. So casually climbing Clitheroe. It's really got nothing to do with the place other than, the alliteration.
The carrion climbers.
No. But that would be good.
Okay.
You're not close. arguably you're not close.
You gave me this look that it was like you're close. I'm like, you're like, no.
And you're semi-close. It's okay. Not Sandy. It's not. Although that is also a good name. So always argues with me about casually climbing Clitheroe. That generally comes right before the fight, though. Always argues with me. Thinking about what that might be with, if you are arguing with someone, what might you be doing?
Yelling.
And then what generally comes right before the fight, though? Casually climbing Clitheroe.
This is one genuinely, like, if you can see in my head, there's just empty space. And, like, more than usual.
Sandy's got it. Sandy gets it. So that's the, that is the, it's tied up. I'm going to say there's been clues given, so that's only going to be the 3 victory points to the chat. Oh. So that's a total of 7 victory points to the chat. So Teresa's currently none.
Shut up.
So always argues with me.
Always argues with me. Combative, yeah. Yelling.
That's it, Sandy. So think of a casual word you... Yeah, a way you might say it, but like a casual way is like, oh, we're always, we always have these little...
Arguing.
Yeah, arguing. But that's not the word.
Oh, okay.
But like, oh, sorry, no, that was a guess. So it's like a short way of saying that you're, there's friction.
Yeah.
There's, you know, you are arguing. What generally becomes right before that, though, is casually climbing Clitheroe. And think of the alliteration. Casually. So casually climbing.
Triple C.
C.
Yes.
And that generally comes right before the fight, though. So before the fight, there is a C.
The carrion counts.
So aunt, I don't know if that's an Australian word. Aunt doesn't mean argue in the UK. It might mean in Australia, but aunt, I don't know if that means something.
Mate, I'm about
maybe
to
in the chat.
Aunt your head off. We're officially outing here, mate. It's
we are outing right now. It's not kabeef.
So C at the start. And
yeah,
then...
it's not kabeefing. Although I would love to kabeef. That sounds like a UFC fighter.
Carrion.
Kabeef.
Can't be the carrion court.
It also,
we're also not outing.
It also goes with carrion.
Corpse.
Like it,
we're orpsing. It,
no. We're orpsing. No, like I think this is just a type of the thing that this is. This sounds weird, but like when you get the second one, you'll realize that the first word is the second word. Like it goes with it. Like if you were to Google these words, it would not bring up
carrion crow.
Yes, the carrion crow.
Cool,
so rouse. Rouse, and then the C. There you go.
That was
so
not,
I think
the rouse was not coming to me. Rouse is not.
You weren't getting rouse.
Not what I use for having a. I use I forgot what I even said now.
You said
ounce. Yeah, I.
You
I,
ounce.
We don't have rouse in Australia. Aunt. We have ounce and onts.
Yeah, ounce. I believe it.
Tell me about the
carrion crows. These are actually a very cool looking group. So the notorious mind, Chaos Space Marine Warband, that they all operate out of the notorious Hellgates, which is dual warp storms located in the Segmentum Solar. So they're very close to Holy Terror. So they operating out of the Ashakullan Gate. They're Zinch, which might make sense because they've got quite bird-like helmets. Not beakies, like actually
bird-like.
Beakies.
Yeah.
Yeah, very bird-like. And they used to be, pardon me, loyalist chapters of the war. They used to be the War Ravens.
Oh.
Yeah.
I like that name.
And the
too.
War Ravens, you probably guess... I think they were what you call it, the Corvus
Raven
Corax.
Raven Guard.
Yeah,
they're like
Raven
angry,
Guard, as you might
angry
imagine.
Raven Guard.
Basically, I'm angry Raven Guard, and they've still got the cool, like, beaky helmets.
Yeah,
basically,
they're actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I just had to look them up myself because that was your description was terrible.
Yeah, I would quite like that. I'd quite like that as a little. You know what I mean? A little warband, a little kill team, little legionaries or
raid. You could see them
having Nemesis Claw.
Little Zangors
Nemesis beaks.
With them too. Nemesis,
yeah.
Nemesi beaks.
The Nemesis Talons, maybe.
Well, there we go, everyone. Now that's the show.
That's the show. I can't believe
welcome.
Lapscallion just arrived. You know what? You're so late, Lapscallion. We're outing. And I know you know what that means, but we're outing. We're outing with you now. That classic Australian term.
Oh, goodness gracious. Well, that's it. Thank you so much. Speaking of everyone in the chat, thank you for being in there, attending, joining part of the show, throwing some questions our way. We really, really appreciate it. And if you are one of our Patreons, a big thank you to you as well. It's a great way to support the show and say, keep the lights on, but Russ is already nodding off. So it's past his bedtime.
Oh. My screen just went out.
Oh, good God. You're still there. I can see you.
Still there.
Thank you, as always, to the ever electronically disconnected Russ from GFN Gaming.
Thanks very much. Goodbye, Reese. It's chat. It's been a pleasure.
Always. Salutes in the chat.
That's a double salute. That's a double eyebrow salute.
Are you okay?
Chat.
Oh, wow. All right. Well, that is it. We will see you next week for some more shenanigans. Thanks so much for joining us. I'll see you.